You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Unless you have been living on another planet in the last 15 years or a decade at least, you would know that Julian Assange has become probably the biggest media story, controversy in recent memory, well, certainly in the last decade. And we have here in, you cannot be serious, we have his father, John Shipton, who has kindly come in to have a chat to us about what is going on with his son. Just let me tell you that WikiLeaks, which is an interesting thing, WikiLeaks is a shortening of a software program developed by Lloyd Cunningham from the Hawaiian WikiWiki, which means very quick. That's what WikiLeaks means. I don't know if you knew that, John, but that's what WikiLeaks means. It means a very quick leak of very quick release of of information. That's, I looked up how you got the name WikiLeaks. But you didn't found WikiLeaks. It was founded in 2006 by your son, but you've taken up the cudgels on his behalf in one of the most controversial media sagas probably that we've ever known. Let me just tell you how this, just, and you correct me if any of this is incorrect, but this comes off the machine I'm reading on. WikiLeaks released documents, document caches, and the media that exposed serious violations of human rights and civil liberties by various governments. It released footage of the 2007 Baghdad airstrike, which is titled Collateral Murder, in which Iraq journalists and several were killed. And it goes on to say, has been published diplomatic cables from the United States, Saudi Arabia, and a lot of different governments. It has also published documents exposing corruption, and it goes on. So that's what WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has done. And I want to ask you, John Shipton, why have you taken up, why do you believe your son has been railroaded, if you do, into the greatest media saga probably that we've known? Oh. Is that a fair question or is convoluted that's question?
It'll expand into a universe, that's the trouble. Well, in the first place, you know, Julian is my son. He's been in one form or another incarceration without charge now for 15 years. So that in itself is more than scandalous.
How can that happen?
Mm. Well, the people in power utilise the power without reference to habeas corpus. Actually, they just utilise power. They utilise the institutions of state which are set up, in this case law, as a shield between the state and ourselves. They utilise that as a means of attack. They exercise power to demonstrate, well, like shock and awe, you might remember the destruction of Iraq, mm-hmm. Shock and awe. Just to give you an example, every single department in that government was destroyed except for the oil department. The 26 of the 28 water desalination plants were destroyed. So it indicates to you that the intention of the United States was to demonstrate shock and awe, destroy the country entirely so that any other country doesn't think about changing the oil revenues from dollar to euro in the case of Iraq or in the destruction of Libya with Muammar Gaddafi changing the changing the euro dollar or the oil dollar into dinars, gold dinars. So they demonstrate to you that if you at all go against the empire, we will destroy you in its entirety. So, the parallel is with Assange. So 15 years of persecution, 28 court cases, no charges laid, demonstrates to any publisher, you three sitting here, that if you go against the state, the empire, in any way whatsoever, you're gone.
Maybe Donald Trump is a parallel to your son.
I don't think Donald... I mean, Donald's an underdog billionaire. I mean, you know, it's a bit different.
I take your point. So in normal circumstances, do you consider your son a whistleblower that exposed some sort of corruption and untoward things that were going on in various governments? And if you do consider him a whistleblower, whistleblowers are usually revered as people who are patriots that say what the governments of the day are doing incorrectly, and they're usually feted. Is your son a whistleblower?
No, Julian's a publisher.
Journalist.
I can take up the cause of the whistleblowers. Not one of them, although they've done immense public service. Let's say Chelsea Manning, for example, who released all those files.
Yeah,
we can go through the files if you like. Iraq war logs, 400,000 yep. items. Afghan war logs, 90,000 items. The cable gate, 250,000 items, and so on.
So I was going to get on to Chelsea yeah. Manning, who was Bradley and turned himself into a woman and got 35 years jail but was pardoned by Barack Obama. Why, if Chelsea Manning can be pardoned for what you just read out then, why wouldn't Obama or even Trump in the last presidency, why wouldn't they look at that and say that they could have pardoned Julian Assange?
Well, in the case of Chelsea, she served 7 years.
Of 35?
Of 35 years in the sentence, and that was commuted. She has not been pardoned, and they can revitalise the commutation whenever they like. And just
well, your son had copped that, though, wouldn't he?
Sits over his head. That's not on offer. You're saying it's on offer.
No,
we're here in Port Melbourne discussing this. It's not on offer. No, nobody's said, what would he?
Why
cop?
Though?
What
why
is the exact they? Situation? What is he actually charged with? This is the great
There's
thing.
There's no charges.
This is so he's basically just a political prisoner held without charge.
The United States has brought 18 indictments against Julian for the release of the Iraq war cables, for the release of Cablegate, 250,000 cables covering 20 years of the United States diplomatic efforts throughout the world, 400,000 Iraq war files, 90,000 Afghan war files, and the Guantanamo Bay files. That's what he's charged with. In the extradition indictment.
If you hold the Western world as the authority on law and order, it is beyond comprehension that someone can be incarcerated without charge, and the very great majority of people who look at the Constitution as a legal document and binding, and that's why it sets itself apart from all our third world countries, that you can be not charged with something. How does that happen? How does that happen that he's not been charged and someone hasn't? Many people in authority haven't come to his defence to say this is nonsense.
Well, everybody else in the world except the West comes to his defence. Just 3 days ago, Chancellor Scholz of Germany said publicly that that the courts, the UK courts, ought to protect Julian. So the president of Brazil, Lula, has said that Julian ought to be freed and pardoned. The president of Mexico has said that Julian should be freed.
John, did he embarrass the former regime in the United States, the Clinton government,
Bush,
embarrass? Yeah. Who did he embarrass? The Bush Clinton, Obama, who did he embarrass that they turn a blind eye to this?
Oh, I think in some circumstances you might say Hillary Clinton, but in the fullness of the discussion we're having, he embarrassed, more than embarrassed. He let us see how the empire works. All of it's there for us to examine. We can examine the cables, 250,000 cables. Some of those cables mention Australians as being a fifth column into the United States. And since then, those Australians have resigned.
So you didn't see Julian for an extensive period of his early life. I think you just got to become acquainted with him in his late or mid-20s. Why have you been so vehement in trying to see that your son is... what is in it for you? Why are you doing this?
Well, you know, I guess that there's a couple of things that you can look at. One is that you've got to make up for your deficiencies. So sometimes that requires extra special efforts. And the other thing is that there's nothing else for me to do other than embark upon this fight. What else are I going to do? You know, have two whiskies at night and hide my head under the doona and say, oh, well, I don't care, and live in a pall of shame.
So do you feel a little you're trying to repatriate yourself, or do you feel a little guilty?
Not at all.
Do you feel a little guilty for not being part of his life from his early years to his mid 20s?
No, I don't,
John.
They're good questions, but I don't do guilt because it's corrosive of the capacity to act. Guilt has within itself an element of cowardice. You run away from the event that you committed. So I don't embark on those two elements because I want to have the strength and the fullness to act without corroding my inner life and my psyche with bathing myself or salting my wounds with guilt and regret.
Why did you not see him for those years?
His mum married a friend of mine, Brett Assange, and established for herself a little family.
Is that Christine? No.
Christine.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was your wife?
No.
No, that's Brett's wife.
Brett's wife, yeah. Christine kept in contact with me over the years, yeah. And arranged, actually, the meeting between Julian and myself as Julian.
I see. So, pardon me, John. You had Julian with your wife? Or
with Christine.
Oh, with Christine. I said that, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. So, and then Christine's married to Brett Assange.
Yeah,
and
she married
And she
after.
Took his... He yeah. took... Yes, yes, correct.
So Christine set up a family.
And so Brett reached out to you to come and take up the case?
No.
For, no, it's not.
No, no. I knew Brett. Yep. He was a lovely man.
Sorry about this. I'm just trying to get how that works.
No, I knew Brett.
Yeah. When did you first make contact with Julian again? As a young man, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And do you visit him when you travel to England? Are you allowed to visit him in jail?
Yes, I whenever, you know, I've been every, 50 or 60 times.
Wow. So when did you last see him, this year?
Just 8 days ago.
Wow. How is he?
Not the best.
Is it physical or more mental? What's the hardship there? Like after 15 years, I can't comprehend it, but... Mentally, it would be difficult.
He's pretty resilient, you know. Must get that from his mum. how can I explain it to you? The United Nations Rapporteur on Torture and Unusual Punishment, Professor Nils Melzer, visited Julian in the jail in 2019, mid-year, just after he'd been dragged out of the embassy. in the company of two doctors who specialised in diagnosing the effects of psychological torture. Professor Melzer did a 26-page report, which he presented to the UK government, which was eventually tabled in the Australian government, outlining that Julian had been the victim of 7.5 years of psychological torture. And they also outline the dilatory effects of torture. All torture, even physical torture, is aimed at changing your mental circumstances. In the case of Julian, Professor Nils Melzer characterised the psychological torture as a slow-motion murder before our eyes.
Did we establish, John, what the difference between Bradley... Chelsea Manning and what... Did we establish the difference between what we thought the difference was between what Julian and Chelsea Manning have done?
Chelsea Manning leaked.
Yes.
Yes. Julian published. Julian is a publisher, and Chelsea
Manning...
So it's
sort of a lesser... It's not lesser. Not lesser.
And Chelsea Manning is... a human being of tremendous virtue.
So yeah. Chelsea is like a whistleblower, in other words.
Yes.
And so, and then Julian is essentially a journalist who receives the material and publishes it.
Yes, a journalist publisher, yes.
And obviously in the West, we don't arrest people who... Like, we don't arrest people at the Herald Sun or the Age when they receive a scoop. So why is Julian Assange sitting in a jail cell for the last 5 years? How long was he in the Ecuadorian embassy for?
7.5 years.
So he's been in jail for 12 years altogether.
Has embarrassed people in the top echelon of the American government, well, or American political system. No?
Well, embarrassed is like a weak, you know...
More than embarrassed.
It's a weak word to describe the phenomenon of an empire that just murdered 1 million people in Iraq, murdered 3 million people in Vietnam, destroyed Libya, destroyed Yemen, destroyed Sudan, you know, destroyed Syria, and then presently destroying Gaza. You've got to wake up a bit. Embarrassed is too weak
a word. Yeah.
So you met Syria's president Bashar al-Assad.
Yes.
Why did you meet him?
Well, at that stage, we were running a political party called WikiLeaks, and I found that it was appropriate for me to go to Syria to find out what the truth was. You know, there's a deluge, the usual deluge of propaganda,
lies,
and I wanted to find out exactly what was doing. And I went there and poked around a bit and found out that they, at that time, 2014, they were about 6 weeks away from the government collapsing to the jihadis. So I came back with that information and put it out there. Nobody took any notice, but anyway, it was there for anybody who wanted to see it. And then about 6 to 8 weeks later, the Russians moved in and saved the government.
And then Assad was accused of dropping poisonous gas on this population, wasn't he?
He was accused in Ghouta, but the OPCW has released their report, and you can look it up, that it was a fit-up, you know.
Yep. So then there's Edward Snowden, who he's another person in exile in Russia. Why aren't the authorities pinpointed on trying to get him back or do a deal with Putin or someone to get him returned?
They won't get one from Putin, will they?
Russia doesn't extradite its citizens, and Snowden is now a citizen of Russia. So that's a short answer. But the reason I don't know why President Putin gave Snowden asylum in Russia, but he did, and it saved it saved Snowden's life. He would be now, you know, destroyed.
So you've had, there's been very prominent, I don't know if people know who Ben and Jerry are. They're Ben and Jerry are big ice cream confection makers, and they're very left-wing people who back the Democrats. But he got arrested. Ben Cohen got arrested for protesting the treatment of Julian, didn't he?
Ben is a terrific man. He put us up in his house for a couple of days and looked after us. It was a real pleasure to be with him. Yeah, Ben and Jerry are serious people. They don't like the empire.
What about what's her name, Anderson?
Pamela.
What about Pamela Anderson? I've seen
she is vehement.
She is vehement on her defence of Julian. What do you make of that? Why is she?
I don't know. You know, it's an extraordinary thing that Pamela, when she speaks seriously in her younger days, nobody took much notice. They just, you know.
She was a body.
And she was such a beautiful woman. It's staggering. But unlike many others, she's taken her public fame and turned it to good works. Also, she's so, pretty bright as well. She had a tremendous range of natural gifts, and she's very moral.
And so why have you spoken to her? Why has she taken on this cause as opposed to any other?
Well, she takes on, she's
there's plenty,
that's
does
her
she?
Life. You know,
I see.
Yeah.
Have you spoken to her?
No, I don't.
You've never met her?
No.
Haven't you?
No, I've
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Times like these bring sort of new heroes to the fore. You wouldn't expect Pamela Anderson to step up, but isn't it interesting and great that she has?
Yeah, well, she runs. And there'd be times too where people just sort of float in and float out.
Yeah, you know, it's the same. You see people.
Oh, in the Assange case, that's true. But in Pamela's case, she's on to her, you know, her.
I think there's another one, Peter.
And there are people that support Julian. You know, Julian receives support from people on the left and the right. You know what I mean? It's not just left wing. You know what I mean? Yeah. There is a lot of libertarian and right wing people who are huge Julians.
Yeah, Barnaby Joyce is a supporter.
There you go.
And on the other hand,
George Christensen, I think.
George Christensen, and then on the opposite side is the Prime Minister.
How come he can't get more things done? Because obviously that was one of the promises of Anthony Albanese, that he. One of the things I liked about him is that he said he would actually, you know, really reach out. Is it above his pay grade, you think?
You've got to give him a bit of credit. Just 2 weeks ago, Anthony made a very strong statement. Anthony Albanese made a very strong statement in support of that this persecution must end. Now, that takes a lot of courage, you know. He's not going up against a zephyr, you know, or an evening breeze. He's going up against the empire.
So, obviously, something's changed because that hasn't happened before, 2 weeks ago, when they sort of culminated into this push.
I think that's his fourth public statement on the matter. Yeah.
It does seem to be reaching ahead, support for Julian seems to be kind of really. It seems like something's going to happen. How do you feel? Do you think there's going to be some action?
I think your analysis is spot on. It does seem to be a rising tide of support, and well, more than a rising tide, it's become a king tide now.
I'm going to ask you this again about Trump. So should Trump become the president again? Was he canvassed when he was the president to pardon Julian Assange, do you know? And do you
or
think
drop the indictments?
Drop the indictments. Because why wouldn't he do that?
You know, I can answer that in two ways. One is that Trump bought the indictment under his watch.
He bought the indictment?
Yes, he brought the indictments forward. It was under his presidency that Julian was charged.
That was Mike Pompeo, wasn't it, I think?
Mike Pompeo, and the prosecutor was a man named Kronberg. Yeah.
I see.
And the other thing was that there was just before he resigned his presidency or lost his presidency, there was a huge movement to get him to pardon Julian.
Yep.
But it didn't come to anything.
He was impeached a second time, you know, wasn't he? It seemed like he was being blackmailed to, you know, he did that second impeachment just at the end as he was leaving office. That was very strange. Anyway.
So the film Ithaca. Pardon
easy
me.
For you to say.
So I'm just partially educated, but not to the standard of the people sitting opposite me. Ithaca, which is the good that humans stand for. I think that's what that means. The human ideal and the human endeavour of good. Is that not right?
Ithaca. That's taken from a poem by a man named C.P. Kafafi. It starts off, as you set out for Ithaca, hope your journey is a long one, full of adventure, full of discovery. Lystragonians, Cyclops, wild Poseidon, don't be afraid of them. You won't find things like that along your way as long as you keep your thoughts held high, as long as a rare excitement stirs your body and your spirit.
I'm glad I mentioned Ithaca because it gave you a chance to tell Beautiful. Us about that. So it's the good that humans stand for. That's what it's about, isn't it?
It's about
and that the was human
I think that's what Julian's about.
It's about life is a journey.
Yes.
Okay, not a aim at its end. So it's a journey through things.
Now that I've pronounced it correctly, Ithaca, this was a film. This was a film produced by whom?
Gabriel Shipton, my other son.
Yes, Gabriel Shipton. That's your other son. Yes. Julian has three sons.
Yes,
two to. Stella Morris,
yes,
which is extraordinary. In while he was incarcerated, do you see the grandchildren?
Yes, I live in that house when I'm in London.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. It is. There's so many. I just can't. I've been watching this for just not intimately, but when I knew that you were coming in here, it's just so hard to ask you all. It just seems extraordinary that this can go on and on and on. And where are you headed with this? I've probably just asked you that earlier on. You've probably announced it.
Tomorrow, what's today?
Wednesday.
Thursday in the United States. Gabrielle will be at the State of the Union address in the company of a man named Thomas Massie, who's a Republican, and another Democrat named McGovern have invited him to attend as the guest of the Congress.
Believe it or not, we take a lot of interest in American politics and the State of the Union. If Joe can actually follow the teleprompter and actually read out what he's meant to say without straying, we might get some. You must wince. You must be bemused at the fact that that man is leading the free country, the free world. That is extraordinary. No matter what your political persuasion, you must think, my God, what do people around the world think that this is going on in that country?
Yeah, it's really difficult because the policies of the United States, as I've seen them since Clinton, haven't changed. You've got this president and that president. Mm-hmm. A man like Obama, of great talent and charm, is probably the most warlike of those presidents. But the policies don't seem to change. Julian's been banged up 15 years. What's the change? How many administrations have been since then?
So you don't hold out any hope for a change of president, maybe to Trump, that anything different might happen?
If it's to his political advantage, he will do it. His competitors, Robert Kennedy Jr., who I've done a couple of platforms with, he says that his first action will be to pardon Julian, if, God willing, he's made president.
He's a good candidate, isn't he? for the much better than Biden.
No, but he won't be the president. So, so if Trump has sort of an ally in Robert, Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr. If he has an ally in him, there might be some bipartisan chat amongst. Surely that Trump, it would be in Trump's best interest to pardon him, because you talk about warlike presidents. You couldn't say Trump was a warlike president.
No, I don't. You know, he made some terrible mistakes in blowing up people in Suleiman, you know.
The Iranian guy.
That's a mistake?
Well, yes, because you don't go around. You mean they suckered him into a peace agreement, to discuss a peace agreement in Iraq, and he was meeting the Iraqi prime minister, so that his travel arrangements were public knowledge.
Yep.
Okay. Normally his travel arrangements would be hyper secret.
Yep.
Okay, so they destroyed him under those circumstances, you know, getting people to set up a peace meeting and then blew him up.
Because they prefer war. I mean, do you think do you think they're coming up against the deep state, the Julian? As you say, it doesn't seem to matter which president is. Do you believe in the deep state, or what's, you know, that? Because some people say it's a conspiracy theory, but do you really believe there is some government behind the government? You know what I mean? That keeps
Not sort of government behind the government, but there is a deep state which stabilizes the policies. In the case of the United States, you often see politicians making really excessive statements, like we've got to destroy Russia and all this sort of thing. But the deep state stabilizes the political circumstances in the empire. That's how I see it.
So, John, just you said that if Iran's proxies are fighting the war in Gaza, you think it was not right that Trump or his administration, no matter how they found out where Suleiman was, that they took him out? You think that was unethical to do that? Are there any rules in war?
Well,
do you think it was a bad?
They're not in a state of war with Iran. You know, they haven't declared the state of war, and the assertion that Iran has proxies,
yes,
okay, is awkward. It has the people that it supports,
yes,
the same as America has people that it supports,
Israel.
But they're not necessarily proxies. In the case of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Ukraine is clearly a proxy of the United States and the EU, or if you want, gather them all together, put them under the heading of NATO. Mm-hmm.
So you don't think Iran is directly or indirectly funding Hamas?
I know who's funding Hamas. It's public knowledge. Qatar does.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the leaders sit.
Some of the royal families,
But you don't think at arm's length that Iran is the main?
No, not of
not at all.
Not of Hamas, because Hamas was the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
Okay, the Muslim Brotherhood is Qatar, not Iran. Iran is Shia.
Right, I take that on advisement, John. So what do you think, just if this is just getting off, what do you think of what's going on in
Gaza?
Gaza, with Israel and Palestine and
the genocide.
So
I agree.
So if on October the 7th, wasn't it, that they Hamas attacked Israel and 1,300, what other response would... I have no skin in the game, incidentally. I'm just genuinely interested in this because it goes on and on and on. If you watch Al Jazeera, they go on and on and on. You watch other stations, they go on and on about different things. What other response would Israel or Netanyahu have in trying to wipe them out? And if there's collateral damage with this, how else if they're trying to wipe them out, Or is that too simplistic to say that, John?
You know.
Now, I'm interested in your opinion. I have no skin in the game, but I just can't understand.
I just don't understand the direction of the question. Okay. When you see that 12,000 children have been killed, mm-hmm. 30,000 all up with
I understand. You
just say, well, stop. That's all. Okay. If you want to destroy Hamas, go and fight them.
But
don't destroy all of children, those children. Yeah. You know, offences against the children cannot be forgiven.
No, John, I'm in vehement agreement with you. As I say, I'm not browbeating you. I'm just asking you if...
No, I'm answering firmly. I'm not fighting you.
No.
I'm being very firm.
So... If Hamas has their battalions and people installed in where the civilian population are at the underground under hospitals and that, and if Israel is trying to get to them, they're pretty crafty and just embroiling themselves amongst the general population and knowing that they'll get international condemnation if Israel attack. Where does it start and end? It's never going to be a two-state solution there, is it?
Gaza? I'll be very plain.
Yes.
Okay? There were 28 hospitals.
Yep.
They blew up 24 hospitals.
Unbelievable.
Now, it can't be that Hamas was in all those hospitals, because Hamas still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And the proof, the cameras going in there, you can see the films for yourself. Destroying mosques, destroying churches, you know, a 9th century church.
Christian churches.
And you've got to get with the party here. Mm. In order to destroy a community, you destroy all of the facilities that enable the community to exist, and then you cut off the food. Mm-hmm. And then the other day, they killed 100 people who went gathering round a food distribution truck. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not possible to ask those questions that you're asking in the face of mass murder of children. Mm. You just don't do that. You find another way. You go into negotiations and say, "What's wrong with you people? We're going to invade. We're going to get into a terrible brawl here. What's the problem?" The problem is that they don't want the Palestinians there
at all.
They want to kick them out.
Gone.
Yeah.
They want Gaza for themselves, right?
So the whole lock, stock, and barrel. You think you're looking at someone who is
I'm just being compliant. Firm.
Yeah, no, but the compliant with what's going on. Mm. I'm only just being the devil's advocate. If all the tunnels under all the mosques and all the hospitals,
were none.
All right.
Yeah, there are none.
I mean, did you see any tunnels?
Exactly. It's just lies. It's Israeli propaganda.
So, how will this, in your eyes, in your opinion, how will this finish? Will it be a long, drawn-out thing, or will it sort of finish pretty quick, do you hope?
It seems to me that with that sort of war that's happening between Hamas, or the Gazans, if you like, and Israel, if Israel doesn't win in the first 2 weeks, then they've lost.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think in the court of public opinion, it seems like everybody is, moving away from Israel. I mean, people on the right and the left, I mean, some people on the right stood with them, but even now it's just gone on too long.
Now it's just seemed to have gone on a little bit too long.
And just about everybody on the left is
really, really nasty.
Everybody.
I don't know, left or right, but what I can say is that a stronger spirit has laid its hand upon the battlefield. The people of Gaza, starving, blown up, half of Gaza destroyed, and now they're all feathered down to the north or feathered to the south. The threats of attacking Rafah crossing. Yeah. They haven't said, They haven't turned on Hamas. Hamas is them. They haven't turned on Hamas and say, this has got to stop, guys. We're getting chewed up here. So that you have to see for yourself that a strong spirit exists in the Gazans to fight for their very existence. It's existential for them.
And rid the Jewish state.
Not rid the Jewish state. You know, they're fighting for their very existence.
I'm just saying this as so are the Jews, aren't they?
No,
they're not.
The Jews are secure there. They have atom bombs and F-16s and an endless supply of
weapons, money
and munitions and food from the United States.
Right.
They can say, look, this is no good, we're getting a bad reputation. But no, they have, some people say, they have an eschatological aim, a religious aim.
Yep. So Julian Assange's lawyer is, I think, Jennifer Robinson, is she not? Or Jennifer, still?
Julian's lawyer is Gareth Pearce.
I see.
From Bernburg Pearce. And one of the lawyers is
Jennifer.
Jen Robinson. Yeah.
And what? How virulent are they in... are they on a daily camp? How virulent are the people defending your son?
I don't know anything about legal strategies, but I see that they lever one British institution against another, and they continue the fight until the embarrassment gets to the stage where the courts will, in the words of Chancellor Scholz, protect Julian. Mm-hmm. But that's my analysis and understanding, but nobody's told me that, and I have no interest in law.
And there'd be no case against Julian for being treasonous?
Treasonous, he's an Oz. He's done nothing against Oz. He's
Is the plan, if he's freed, to bring him back to Australia, if possible? If he is freed, if these indictments are dropped, is the plan to bring him back to Australia?
Oh, I'd like to see him. I'd be sick of travelling every second month.
Do you have any restrictions on your travel because of your association?
No,
so
no,
you're pretty much free to go wherever you need?
Is it true that Tucker Carlson is going to interview Julian?
Yeah, he did in the jail. He went and visited Julian in the jail and interviewed Stella thereafter.
But he's not allowed to take his cameras in there?
No, it's a maximum security prison.
Yeah.
No one's allowed to interview him.
Yeah.
If you have a pocket handkerchief, you've got to take it out. You can't take anything in. If you have a string on your shirt, like a piece
of... They want to know what it is.
They have to cut it off because people soak their clothes in...
Something
spice, they call it spice.
Uh-huh.
Well, look, in 2006, I think Julian set up WikiLeaks. I bet you wish you could go back to 2005 and think that this never happened because, or do you think that it was worth this whole thing has been worth? It's been worth it
publicly for the public and for the institutions of state other than the United States and for the United States public. It's been a shower of gold, or if you like, cool rain on a hot summer's afternoon. But for Julian himself, it's been tragic.
But for us,
we know how the United... You can look up, for example, you can look up Robert Carr in the cables, or significant figures around the world. You can look them up and see a review of their position as regards the United States. We understand how the United States works.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Tunisia, this from memory,
yep.
Tunisia had, open source in all of its computers, okay? So the government computers, and they encourage open source. Well, the United States ambassador goes to the government there and says, well, you know, if you want to be friends with the United States, you'll get on with us a lot better if you use Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft, you know, is a really buggy.
Do you think it's changed the geopolitical situation, what Julian has done? Because, like, obviously anyone, in a sense, can set up an operation like WikiLeaks, where you take leaks and release them. I mean, is that why you think they're sort of going shock and awe on him? Because you spoke about shock and awe earlier, what they did with a country like Iraq, where they destroyed everything, and maybe what they're doing also in Gaza. But, like, do you think that's why they're going so hard against Julian, to try and stop other people from leaking or you know what I mean, or at least publishing leaks?
Sure. But I can give a long answer as well. And as you're in this business of broadcasting understandings, and you're new in it, in the sense,
mm-hmm.
not in that, in the sense that you're not legacy media, okay, you are a phenomenon of a change in the distribution and analysis of news. That strata of genius, I call it genius, exists in crypto, in cryptocurrencies, in encryption services, in news distribution, in the accumulation of online libraries where you can go and search stuff. All of that strata has been rejected by the power structures of the West to its detriment. They haven't found a way to draw in and change how they utilize power. And as a consequence, the West is gone into a decline. It can't understand itself any longer because it hasn't got access to information.
So when this is all done, Julian might be looked on, if he's not already, as a martyr.
Well, he clearly is a martyr too.
Yeah. In your eyes, he's a martyr?
Well, not in my eyes.
No.
If you
generally speaking,
15 years banged up, no charge.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it's not a game, and that's the high point of his life. He's 52 now.
Now, John Shipton, what sustains you? I'm just asking you. You don't have to answer. Are you with someone? Are you a solo man? Do you travel? You're married, or what? Where are you up to in your life?
I'm not.
You don't have to answer any of those questions.
No, I'm not married, and I live.
Not track and square with anyone?
No, I'd like to. You know, it gets a bit sort of lonely out there. A lot of my friends my age buy dogs, but I'm not into that.
No.
And
is your life's ambition is just when you wake up, just this is on your mind 24/7?
Oh, no, I have a daughter 8 years old and, you know.
From who?
Her mum is... Yeah, I won't say.
Oh, it's all right. No, okay.
But her mum lives in Melbourne.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep.
We get on all right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well.
But we don't.
So you're a Melbourne boy too, yourself?
Yeah. No, I moved here because Gabrielle moved here.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved down to be closer to Gabrielle. Yeah.
Oh, well,
and
look.
Also, Severin, my daughter's mum, is a Melbournean lass. Yeah.
Now, look, other than you telling me how to pronounce Ithaca, which I am indebted to you for, it's been fascinating speaking to you. I hope they've been a bit naive, most of the questions I've asked, but we're just simple folk, just a simple man. Partially educated I am, John, but unlike you, who are on top of your game. So I really appreciate you coming in and having a chat to us. We always like to interview people from the other side of a story that probably doesn't get published, although you would have been published a lot. But we really appreciate you coming in and having a chat to us, John Shipton.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you.
No, I'm not kind. I'm genuine.
And genuine.
Thank you very much.
And simpatico.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
I'm hoping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because...